7 o'clock. We will call to order this meeting of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission. Co-Chair Charette.
Here.
Co-Chair Lennon.
Here.
Commissioner Cadleck.
Here.
Commissioner Avalos. Commissioner Hoyt. Commissioner Beckman.
Here.
Commissioner Shader.
Here.
Student Commissioner Steerwalt. We have 6 voting members present. We do have a quorum. First item of business is public comment. I have not received anything in advance and there is no one here, so we will move on to the next item of business, adoption of the June 9th meeting minutes. Any edits, corrections, clarifications, typos? All right. And we need a motion to adopt.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Co-Chair Charette.
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon.
Yes.
Commissioner Cadleck.
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt.
Yes.
Commissioner Beckman.
Yes.
Commissioner Shader.
Yes.
Minutes are adopted. All right, we will move on to commissioner updates. Does anybody have anything other than the topics on the agenda?
I've got something. So a couple months ago, I decided to talk with the Park District. So I've had a conversation with them as far as some of the stuff they've been doing. And basically, they issued a contract to Tall Grass, which I have copies of it here for everybody if they want to see it. And essentially, it's basically to manage 2 areas that is under their control, which I think most people are familiar with. It's the area just south of the tracks, then also right near the tennis courts on Keystone. There's that sort of area. That's basically what it encompasses, essentially to clean up the weeds and, you know, essentially to plant some stuff. There's no plans for any, like, we had talked about, like, pollinator gardens and such. No plans. And in fact, they told me, I guess they had one at Priory several years ago. Everyone complained. There was ugly, so they got rid of it. So what it suggests is they're doing a new 3-year plan coming up, and we should try to get some input if we desire in that as far as long term. So that's sort of, I think, what our strategy should be from that perspective.
So are you talking about the survey that they have passed out?
No, absolutely not. No, I spoke with Mike Setter and Mike Grant. You know,
in terms of the 3-year plan?
No, yeah, that's they're doing that survey right now.
Yeah, so I just wanted to encourage everybody, like, this is our chance to get out a voice for the environment. So if everybody could take, I myself have not done it yet either. So yeah,
now, I'll be happy to push them a little bit to myself, yeah. Just on the side.
And I had another question. Did he bring up at all? I don't know what he calls it. I don't know if it's a bioswale or a rain garden between the tennis courts and Lake Street.
That's what I'm talking about over there. That's that area right there is part of this contract.
Okay. That big area.
That sort of, like, you know, square area.
Yeah. I sent something to David. There's some fabulous flowers in there for the first time. And I was just hoping they weren't going to mow them down.
No, that's part of this contract in order to essentially get rid of the weeds and to help, you know, keep it going, basically.
But that is the spot.
Exactly.
Okay. Not the, because there used to be a small spot between the tennis courts and the railroad tracks.
Right. No, the area that I'm
talking about is the big
that,
one.
That spot between Lake Street and the tennis courts.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for checking.
Okay. Wondering what that was. In addition to the sled hill,
exactly.
The old sled hill.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
So, just to follow up, I don't know much about a lot, so you guys know a lot more, but maybe we could tell people what we want, so the survey we could get more people involved with that. You know, I don't really know. You know,
do you mean try to get people to fill out the survey?
To fill out the survey and educate them a little bit. I mean, I just, you know, I mean, obviously I like the pollinator ideas, but, you know, as far as anything else you want the Park District to do, maybe we should have a short discussion, or maybe people think about over the next month or two, you know, we could, you know, have an item and then distribute that information to folks.
On their board?
I'm sorry?
Distribute it to their board?
Well, 2 things. To the board, number one, and then number 2, distribute the general folks when they actually complete the survey.
Share that the Park District is doing this survey currently.
Number one. Yeah. And number 2, maybe share what people might consider. Yep. That makes sense.
Yep. What we recommend.
Exactly.
Recommend in terms of what?
We're not trying to influence the vote, but I don't know. I guess that's for us.
I'll influence the vote. No AstroTurf.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's the sort of thing. No astroturf.
Yeah.
You know, more pollinated gardens. You know, whatever else it might be. We probably should have a list of five things or so for people to actually. And if people want to communicate with me, I'll be. I don't know how we can distribute that to the average folks around.
I mean, we can discuss that. That's a great idea, actually. I mean, because just as an independent individual, the two things I did, I suggested in filling out that survey was more stuff like this. I mean, I didn't know this was here, so that's great. But since they have the most land in the village and what's not being used for recreation is they've done very little with. So more of that, and then less pressure to replace, well, to put in AstroTurf.
Okay. Yeah. So
But I don't know how everybody else may feel about it.
If people have, you know, any ideas, we just, AstroTurf number one, myself is trying to plant more pollinator gardens. Any other ideas that people have or any?
I just want to say before we start this, I think that we have to be careful because we are a separate body and we can, you know, make suggestions and we can certainly like reach out to like-minded friends and say, you know, please do this survey because I think we're going to come up with the same kind of things, but I think we just have to be careful. But I think one of the most important things is to just establish a relationship as you have done. And maybe we could think of ways to build on that. Like maybe, you know, sort of report back to each other at a regular time. Sometimes even something as small as that makes people a little bit more cognizant.
Well, one example. So this, the Priory Park passageway from, I don't know what it is, William to the park, which they abandoned, I don't think was ever well designed in the first place. And the vegetation was not what I would consider to be native to begin with.
Yeah.
So they gave it up. And it's interesting to hear you say there were a lot of complaints because I know there were a lot of complaints when they took it out.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that I just wasn't sure how much thought they had put into really doing something serious in that stretch.
And my sense talking with them, too, is they have money. You know,
I see that.
The reason why they did all the stuff here, because essentially all this money built up over the years, they didn't spend money for a decade. And all of a sudden they have all this money. That's where they're doing all these parks, basically, right? Which, thank God, it's actually in need.
Well,
I don't know how much more they've got, but
I think there's when you have a lot of money that the inclination is to want to spend it. And having watched several, the last few board iterations, you know, that can allow for bad ideas to kind of pop up occasionally and rear their heads, as we saw with the tennis club, actually. Yeah, they have money. So that's even more reason to kind of maybe talk to them about
exactly
how to spend.
Yeah. So, I mean, AstroTurf is well taken. I'll be happy to, you know, communicate that. Anything else?
Yeah. Well, I would agree with Susan. I think, you know, if we come out and say, hey, promote this, then it can almost be seen as adversarial. I like what you're doing. Establish a relationship and find areas where we can collaborate. That's what I would like to do. I mean, we can start to share some of what our thinking and agenda is, and they've got property, we don't. And there's some things we can do to collaborate. So maybe we, I'm just picking on this one that you guys were talking about that was there and now it's not there. Well, maybe we take on part of a role of implementing it and managing it and those kinds of things. But so how can we collaborate with them to get a common end? That would be my preferred route to doing it.
Yeah. I was just speaking as an individual citizen there.
You're right. Everyone here has still their right to do that.
It's important that all of us that, you know, that all of our voices are heard and this, they're asking for this. And so this is our opportunity to do it and certainly reach out to, you know, your wife can fill out one. At least double the input.
Both.
Double the input.
We'll get at least 10 votes.
So Jeff, if you're
probably 80% of the votes they'll get anyhow.
So Jeff, if you're volunteering to start a subcommittee begin collaboration with them, I would.
Yeah, I'm more than happy. Once we come up with ideas,
I first that, and we'll get some of the second.
I don't think we need a subcommittee. This is a bigger conversation. Which, you know, I'm always thinking about how we can have a bigger impact. And I thought maybe if each of us took on a role of reaching out to another, that might be because I think everything happens around relationships and increasing communication, and that's, you know, more important than. You know,
I
all
think
the stuff.
They were
and
happy
so,
that I
yeah.
actually cared. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds crazy. You know, I think they get, you know, criticized mainly, but it was a very positive conversation overall.
That'd be so wonderful.
I would start with the person you're starting with, which
I think he's
my insurance guy too. So just to begin the discussion. So how can we start to collaborate and work together? Well, and pick a topic or two and go.
To begin with, I think, you know, this is, we like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
And, you know, maybe you could, you know, just to keep the conversation go, just tell them how pleased we are that they're, and that we had noted there. What, does anybody know what they call that thing? Seth, do you know what they call that thing? Is it a bioswale or a rain garden or?
This thing out here?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think it's a retention pond.
Retention pond. Okay. Yeah. That we noted the retention pond and how good it was, you know, just.
Yeah, I'll be happy to email Mike.
Because I'm sure there's going to be people complaining about that too, right? So, I mean, they had to do it. MWRD required them to do it when they restructured, but I'm sure they get some negative feedback because balls end up in there and maybe kids. But
They did have another proposal, which I reviewed as well, which actually was a lot more expensive, a lot more extensive. But I think they went with the lower price one, which is probably all they really needed at this mm-hmm. point in time.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of land, obviously. I mean, if you look at all the different parks, mm-hmm. you know, there's corners anywhere they could do stuff, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think just as long as we keep on the radar screen, it might mm-hmm. be helpful, I think. So.
And the second one, where's the second one?
So the second one, that is just a map. I just from... Pizzo, what is it? How do you say it? Pizzo, they gave another proposal, but they included a map in theirs, and you can sort of just see where that the garden is along the south side or north side of the tracks, basically.
That was used as a sledding hill for a while.
The sledding hill.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a sledding hill.
Yeah. Do people
still go sledding in that?
Yes.
Kids always did.
That looked good a while ago. I haven't taken a look at it, but
does it look good? Stuff growing on there.
Okay, good.
It doesn't look pretty.
They have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that does look good. And it's a substantial piece of, I thought they were talking about, there's another one that they did south of the tracks that they don't care for. That's where all the thistle is that I brought up.
Is that right off Thatcher?
Yeah. The one that you and David have been talking about. Yeah.
And then we had talked last time briefly about out in front and stuff like that. Is that happening or not happening or?
So.
Those two times.
With, I haven't like sort of formally introduce this to you all, but with the plan with the park across the street, the sod will be going down, and then probably within the next week, I believe. I don't even, it might already be down. I haven't gone past there, but there will be a corner that will be left unsodded right at the corner. And so I was going to introduce that to you all over the next month because the intention is to fill that in with natives and perennials and to get this commission's sort of feedback and input as that's sort of going to be the starting spot for that.
Gotcha.
With plans to extend it over time?
I don't know what the overall plan is. So right now, everything with that is whole square park is pretty fluid. So I think they wanted, you know, just a few basic things and then one section and then sort of continue to get public feedback and see how it goes from there.
First thing I noticed is just driving around. I don't come by here often. What's the purpose of that?
It was a village employee parking lot and it's sort of on a pretty prominent street. And so the village board wanted to develop it into something more and something sort of that will be used by the community more visually pleasing. So they wanted to get started basically right away. So our public works crew tore up all the asphalt, hauled it all away. And then we got topsoil down. We put, just as part of our annual sidewalk program, put that short little sidewalk walkway there.
Sidewalk, yeah.
And then, the plan is to, at least for right now, just get some basic sod down and then leave one corner open. And what I was told is for natives and perennials.
I'm just sort of throwing this out here. I mean, does it make sense? I don't know how much sod costs. I would assume that native perennials are a lot cheaper than sod. Is that true or is it not true? Do we know or not?
I honestly don't know.
Would it be worth bringing up with the village and asking them if they want to sort of alter that? Is it a done deal?
I think it's like set to go in this week in terms of the sod. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a pretty done deal.
I think in terms of cost, it depends on how large the plants are. And if you start small, then it doesn't cost a lot, but it takes time, as David will attest to. So there's always that trade-off. If you buy mature plants, it's going to be very expensive.
Do you know, is there an automatic watering system? Or do they water that at all? Or they'll have to water the sod, obviously.
Yeah, it will need to be watered. I don't think there's any sort of automatic sprinkler system in there because I believe the only water line going in there, they're installing a sort of the three-level water fountain with the, like,
dog
kid. The kid and the water bottle
or
filler.
The dog, big dog, kid.
Yes. Yeah, so that, to my knowledge, is the only sort of plumbing infrastructure going in there. So it would be...
So I wonder if the sod will, I mean, in these hot times. That yeah. has actually survived. I mean, you look at the parks. I mean, it looks, some of them look terrible, actually. Some look great.
Yeah. And I haven't been directly involved, but I think the plan was to, I don't know, time it up to avoid the heat wave so the sod doesn't die the day it goes in.
Do you know roughly like how big that corner would be?
I don't offhand. This was just sort of, I was on the edge of this conversation and then I was told to, you know, bring this to commission and let you guys run with it. But there will be that, the corner at the intersection corner, at the sidewalk corner is where it would be. Okay. They're leaving some patch. I don't know what the exact square footage is open.
I heard that you mentioned this before. We have about $1,200 per month for the next couple of years, right?
Correct. That's going to be starting in September.
What are we doing with that money?
That has not yet been determined.
We determine that?
The board would ultimately determine that, but I mean, I think the initial recommendation with that was that the commission would provide recommendations to the board for visible sustainability projects. So
would that be part of that? Richard?
I believe so.
Okay. Do we want to do that or recommend that be spent for this or not?
Yeah, we should move along though, because this is more of a, the commission report. So once we get into the meat, we should probably put that. We can always throw that on a.
Yeah, and I was planning on having that be a more formal agenda item next month. This was something that was a discussion earlier this week. So I mean,
and they may already have it budgeted outside of that $1,200. So
yeah, that's even better.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say two things. I was trying to get a date here. Chicago, Climate Week is coming up. I believe it's starting on Saturday. Well, there's something here that says July 15th, maybe earlier. Anyway, if you want to look out for that, there's all kinds of events going on around time. And there's a climate museum. Has anybody been to the climate museum? It's kind of close to Ogilvy, so that's on my list of places to go. I believe it's free also. All right, and then I have another one. It's kind of personal, but it has ramifications. So I received notice from my insurance company, that home insurance company, that they had sent drones above, and they had noted that I had complete tree cover on top of my house, and I need to get rid of that immediately or they're going to drop me from their insurance policy. And I have four mature oak trees very, very close to my house with, you know, big branches coming out. And so, I mean, I guess I bring it up because I reached out to Brian to see if he could give me any guidance. I'm worried about, number one, the time frame that they gave me, because you can't cut back oak trees at this time of year. There's a disease that gets introduced. So it could be a self-fulfilling prophecy that they say cut down and then the tree falls on my house. For the health of the tree and anything else. So, you know, I just put that out there, something to think about. And it's Travelers.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know that any other one would be. I've always thought that I had one shot, that, you know, a branch would fall in the house and then they would drop me, but I didn't know that they would preemptively like send a drone up. And so now I have to. So anyway, just bring that up, that you know, there's so many things that we do to preserve trees, and it's getting harder and harder to have, you know, I have quite a small lot, so there's.
Yeah, and you said you've already reached out to Brian on that.
I did. I haven't heard back, so I could. Is he around?
Yeah, I saw him this morning. Okay. So yeah, I'll try to track him down the next couple of days. And
I mean, I thought about going over to. I live right near Public Works. I thought maybe that's a little place. Go in there and find
him. No, I'll just let him know next time I see him. Because I know people have reached out, and either him or Matt or one of our crew who's an arborist has gone out and
on the same topic,
their private property trees and just general questions about that, because typically they only deal with the parkway trees, but I know they've had questions from residents regarding private property trees before, and they've tried to accommodate those, at least answer the questions for them.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that, just to go in with a little more knowledge. So, but anyways, just something to think about. Keep your branches trimmed back.
Mm-hmm.
Manolo had reached out to me since he couldn't be here tonight, just to bring up he was tracking the Madison Street developments going up, and how there was a planning meeting last week for it and everything. And he noted that one citizen had brought up concern over kind of a lack of sustainability features with the new property, including like no public bike racks and everything. I think he said there's going to be permeable pavers and everything, but he wanted to kind of see if there were any thoughts in the commission, if this is something that we wanted to discuss further or if anybody had any thoughts about recommendations or just anything that we wanted to talk about related to this development.
Are private organizations, they don't have to do this, correct?
It's at above a certain square footage, there is it's the plan development process. So it is a specific approval process that goes through the development review board and then the village board. And there are certain conditions that the development review board can attach to that. But that is, again,
And has that been approved yet, Ben? Do you know?
It was recommended by the Development Review Board. It has not been taken up by the Village Board.
Did Manal put his recommendations in?
No, he just wanted to open the floor to see if this is something that we wanted to be a discussion item with the commission, or if anyone had any thoughts, really.
My only thought is that it's such a hot button topic that I just don't know that there would be much scope for additional.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, the Development Review Board's meeting was held at Trinity to accommodate the crowd and accommodate the public comment period. And then there will be additional public comment period when it does go on the board agenda.
So that would probably be the place to bring it up. Yep. But
And just, you know, to a large degree, the whole project fits what the college kids brought forward to us a couple of years ago, right? Which was multi-resident, near mass transportation, all those kinds of things. So, yeah, if it doesn't have bike racks, maybe eventually it will. That's not something you have to have day one. But beyond that, I'm kind of sad. This thing's been a hot topic for a number of years now. This is their second stab at it, right?
So. Yeah. Yeah, I know. There's been plenty of discussion about it already. Yeah.
And
I was actually, you know, that where Tasty Dog used to be in Oak Park.
Yes.
And they built that building on top. I was there over the weekend. They have an amazing sort of garden on the roof and stuff like that. They did a, I don't know if that's any plans with this, but it was pretty, I was pretty impressed actually with some of the stuff they've done.
Is it a public space? Is it like a?
No, no, the building did it. Just
it's sustainable roofs.
Just something. Oh, I see.
Decrease the heat, you know, lovely. And such.
Yeah, cool. Sustainable roofs. There's quite a few. Ford Motor Company turned their whole corporate office that way. So I'll have it up there.
That'll be my next step after I have to cut all my branches back.
There you go. It's got to be flat though.
Anything else before we move on to the Bird City discussion? All right. David, I know the Nighthawk monitoring has been underway. I didn't know if you had any update. I didn't have anything written up in the thing for this, but you've been really taking the lead on this one. So,
So that this last week was our last. Last week was our last week and of monitoring, and the data is coming in, and maybe I can offer or try to get for the next meeting some kind of a review and then share with everybody what came back. I'll characterize what came back as so far, and I gave everybody until the end of July to get their info back. But so far, there's a handful of really high quality observations and information, including Gary's and a few others. And then we have maybe an equal amount of kind of just things that didn't really amount to much. And I'll sort through all that and kind of figure out what to make of it. I was approached by a fellow works in the Chicago Ornithological Society in the city, and he was asking me what we're going to do with our data, where we're going to send it, presuming that we know what our data looks like. So I can't even say we're going to send it anywhere. I don't even know what we're going to use it for. So that's another thing that can be discussed. But I think it will come in, you know, we can figure out what sort of quantitative evaluation to give it. And then what sort of qualitative shape or information can be taken from it. But I think by August 11th, hopefully, I can share with you all maybe a file or a document that has what we got, and we can think about what to do with it. As far as like wrapping it up for the purposes of Bird City, I'll have to think about that.
David, one thing, I don't, do you have like an analysis, data analysis background at all?
Not at all.
Oh, I'm happy to take a look at those
if
you want, and might be able to pull out some trends. If you give me some guidance on what's important.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I really don't even know if our data will be like, you know, rigorous.
It may not be.
Do you do mapping at all?
Sure.
GIS?
Yeah, I've done it before.
Okay. Because basically we have people at certain coordinates who are counting things, and we could, you know, produce a map. And then that would be one thing. I think people always love maps. And then we could also see what else came out of it. So thank you.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Your purpose is obviously to try to make recommendations, I would assume, from this. Or is it more observational?
No, this is to make reservations. It's definitely, in contrast to some of the other surveys of this nature that are going on in the city over the last few years, that have been basically population counts, census counts. I think we were aiming at a little bit more than that. That's why I called it in some of the information, a breeding survey. So we wanted to identify if we had breeding pairs and where they were located. And then once we identified where they're located, what can we learn about the site and how can that inform us about what this animal needs to reproduce in an urban habitat? And I think we've accomplished that with a couple of very focused site studies, principally being that at Roosevelt. You all saw the trail wildlife cam movies. Now,
are the chicks gone now, or are they still there?
Yeah. Okay, that's very interesting. Yes. I think we're in an intermezzo between the parents are on holiday. I think we have literally a bunch of empty nesters flying around after Mama was sitting on these hot rooftops at 100 degrees for a couple weeks. She's not there anymore. You may have noticed. I noticed that.
They're gone.
But there's still diving going on, which tells me that round two may be coming up. But they may be trying to wait out the heat because it's just atrocious. So on that note, actually, so Roosevelt allowed for a kind of a very deep local observation of one site, and that can inform us. We already talked with the gentleman at D90 who is kind of the chief financial officer. I don't know what you call Anthony Cozy.
I thought he was like the administrator for operations.
Something like that. Yeah. Da Capo. Yeah. Right. And he had, he knows what we're looking at, and that's the roof that's slated to be replaced next year. So we're already talking to him about perhaps doing a pilot program of, you know, putting in a gravel corner where we know the animal was last summer. I've also heard back from some facilities guys at Concordia who are like, oh yeah, we're all in. I'll get you up on that roof, and they're talking to people over there. We'll see how far that gets. And at the Oak Park Public Library, where I know Manolo had reported that there was a lot of activity over Scoville and around the library, we learned that they have a green roof. They also have 12,000 square feet up there, some of which I think is gravel. So next week I'll be meeting with the board of the public library, and they're very interested in this whole thing. And so there's a chance we may be able to get up on their roof, install some cameras, and see what we can learn from that. So I think we've pulled in a number of kind of institutions who are interested in it, but the long-term, I think, goal is to inform the public about, and to maybe even develop models and prototypes for rooftops that can be used by this bird. Instead of just ripping everything out, throwing down the, whatever you call it, that white reflective sheeting, and leaving, because that's just gonna, that's gonna,
yeah.
So that's kind of the goal. And, you're all welcome to, ponder it, because, it's a lot to think about. But I think with regards to D90 and Roosevelt and that project, we have a year. I've been up on that roof 5 times with Ben's father to observe the bird and see the gravel roof. We may get up at OPRF at Oak Park Public Library. So we're getting some, like, really, I think, fine, good, detailed information about the life cycle of this bird, in addition to whatever kind of distributional data we may assemble. But also I wanted to invite you all to an open house. I know Gary can't make it, but next Sunday, not, what is it? 26,
two Sundays, week from Sun, 2 weeks,
2 weeks, not this Saturday, yeah, but the following.
Yeah.
Yeah. 26, between 1 and 3, you're welcome to come over. I've invited all the Nighthawk monitors to come meet each other, talk about their experience. You know, because we've all, it's been kind of a virtual online thing. It would be nice to meet together. And I think also, in case we decide to do this again next year, some people have already expressed an interest in helping out again. Yeah, think about stopping by if you can.
What time is this event?
Between 1 and 3.
Oh, 1 and 3.
Ish. Yeah.
And my other question was, have we, since many of the sites were in Oak Park, have we shared any of this information with Oak Park, or are there plans to share it with some Oak Park?
Well, I mean, what's Oak Park? I'll be meeting with
a lot. Like sustainability, or there's an environmental group.
I made no formal efforts.
No, but when we have the results, maybe that's something that we could offer to share with them, since it's really an Oak Park River Forest project.
Oh, for sure.
I did share when the project first started with their sustainability. One of their sustainability coordinators just sent him all the information. I never heard back, but I can always follow up with him,
yeah,
and share sort of that.
Yeah, maybe when we have a final thing, you can just sort of bookend that and send,
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I mean, depending on how things go with the library, that could really be an avenue for building out that kind of public relations aspect of it.
So would you want to, like, e-publish this, like write an article on this? Or do, like, a press release? Or what are you thinking?
All of the above. Yeah, I think, first of all, you know, we can give it to Seth for the village, you know, in some form or another, a press release or whatnot, a larger report involving whatever kind of, you know, formal manipulation of the data we come up with, maps, tables, trends, whatever, could be included in something. I've also thought there are a number of conferences around the city. Well, there's one in particular in the region. It's called Wild Chicago, I think. Happens in February, and it's where a lot of conservation groups get together. Forest Preserve, Nature Conservancy, Brookfield Zoo, Lincoln Park Zoo, anybody that's involved in conservation or wildlife, whatever, gets together and they talk about stuff. And I thought I would, if we have something presentable, you know, I think we should submit it and pitch it there. Because what is not being looked at is what it takes to preserve the habitats that these animals need. We know that there's a number of them, a certain number of them. Now, that's what eBird is very good at, or eBird is very good at allowing us to do. But beyond that, there's not really something that gives us a course of action. So
the Forest Preserve might be another body we wanted to share. Did they play? They played a small role in this, didn't they?
Oh, they gave us permission to go to Thatcher. Yeah, that's okay. One of the best. Yeah, yeah.
They were not themselves observing.
No. I mean, yeah. So, like I said, these regional conferences, I think, might be a good way to start. There's also the press, you know. So we can see how it develops.
Yeah, just a thought, Dave. You know, because taking the word sustainable, literally, which I'm a literalist. You know, reports are great. Articles are great. But they get forgotten. To me, at the end game has got to be something that when someone comes in to get their roof permit, that there's something part of that package that describes the value, the benefit, and here's what we'd like you to consider. I don't know that it'd be something we ever mandate, but it's so something every time somebody comes in and wants to redo those roofs, that it becomes automatic, reinforming them of what we're trying to accomplish. So in some fashion, we, I think, really need to tie in, you know, the zoning piece or whatever it is, Seth, to make certain that all this stuff you're accumulated is sifted down and boiled down into something that layman can say, yeah, this community stands for this Nighthawk, and we can be a part of helping it by doing this. That'd be my thought. Then it lives. It's sustainable, right?
That's a great idea. The other thing, I don't know anything about the costs of roofing a flat roof building. So for like Roosevelt or Concordia or Jewel, you know, I don't know what the costs would be of taking out everything and then preserving
part of it, yeah,
1,000 square feet in gravel. But if there was a way that we could offer assistance, however small,
waive their permit fees or something.
Ah,
right.
Okay, so something like that. Yeah, creative waiving.
Some benefit and value, as well as something little.
Are there permit fees when
we're
there are permit fees. I don't know
if like Trinity replaces their roof, they have to pay a fee.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, there are permit fees. I don't know what the cost is. Some permits, it's like a flat cost. Some, it's like a percentage of the overall contract cost. There's even ones, I feel like, electrical or plumbing, it's like per fixture, per outlet, things like that.
But, so, I don't want to engineer it here, but yeah, to me, that's got to be, because that you move to your acreage down south and houses get continue on. And that's what I always think about. Right?
Oh, me?
No, when you move away to...
Out
west. We all go away. How is this sustained? How is it continue? Yeah. And then, so if it's in the natural, normal process, regardless who's running that process, it becomes automatic. That's my comment.
This is background, and I do want to just mention that this bird, like any other that's migratory, is legally protected by international treaty. It's a federal crime to disrupt, disturb, harm, whatever, this bird when it's breeding. I actually had some qualms about that when Mr. Cadillac and I were setting up the camera, and we disturbed the bird, and it left its chick.
Gotcha now.
Came back.
Fish and Wildlife was not knocking at my door, and that's the problem, because taking replacing a roof where there's a known bird to be nesting is actually a treaty violation and a federal crime. But there's a gray legal area in the Fish and Wildlife Service, which is responsible for enforcing that and Endangered Species Act violations and all that. They don't really pursue it. And the Supreme Court has granted wide latitude to all sorts of people, utilities, developers, what have you, for what they call an incidental take, which is non-intentional destruction of wildlife. In other words, we didn't know it was there. We had to do this. Oh, sorry. Which I think is probably what would describe the legal situation of most rooftop renovations, even if a bird is displaced. But it is against the law. But I think there's a lot of interest in the village and Oak Park. And so that bodes well. And people are, I think, a lot more aware of what's going on in this summer. I think that's an accomplishment as well. So, yes, I think we'll have press release, articles, a formal report, presentation at conferences, and then strategizing about policy changes to and then actually a very specific targeted action, perhaps trying to work with D90 to get them to.
So if you have a flat roof, I mean, I don't know much about these things, and you just put gravel down, is that suitable for these?
If it's of a certain square footage and there's no clear sense of exactly what you need. This has been attempted in some areas to sort of put where a roof was redone and you put gravel in a corner, like on top of an old church. And it hasn't, it's not clear. Sometimes it works, sometimes that.
Like 2 feet, 2 by 2, 20 by 20, or who knows? You don't even know.
Yeah, it probably needs to be much larger.
Okay, like large.
Yeah, so the roof where we were getting all that action at Roosevelt was 6,000 square feet.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And out of that, the bird used maybe 10. But we don't know. Did it need that other?
Just from a camouflage perspective, yeah.
Does it have some kind of, you know, metric? It's like, well, I only need this part, but I want all that for.
Yeah.
So we don't know, but better to try than to not try.
So I just, whatever I can do to help, great job. I just want to flag. I got to leave in 10 minutes. If I leave, is that going to harm any voting that you guys have to do?
Yeah, the only other.
But I was going to bring up something at the end, if you'll let me butt in. Yep. It's just an idea I had, because I think you might be able to help and weigh in. So I have just been sort of casually noting, going around town, that there just seems to be so much more milkweed in town. And I just wondered if there's a way that we could quantify it. And Ben, I don't know if this really happened or if I misunderstood, but I thought you did something like this at Triton, where there was sort of a crowdsourcing, and whenever you saw milkweed, you like take a picture and you upload it to something, and it has a project name, and then we can get some kind of quantification on that. And
yeah, we did a project at Triton with one of the biology classes, where we just used the iNaturalist app, and we split the students all into groups, and they had specific quadrants of the campus, and they counted all the milkweed plants that we had, and then we made a simple map, kind of the end. And we're planning to repeat that actually this fall to see. The point of it was to, yeah, let's preserve, especially where we have these big abundances, and especially for our prairie garden or botanical garden and everything like that, and kind of quantifying the value of the milkweed that's there and everything. But so our project was very simple in nature, where we kind of just had people go out in groups and snap a photo of the milkweed, and they can also make reports about kind of the condition of that plot. If, you know, some of the milkweeds, they can get really kind of, you know, disturbed or bent over or anything. Or
do you set that up as a project?
Yeah, you can
on
make like your own project, and then everybody can upload their photos and observations.
So it's all there. We don't need to.
Yeah, it's all within the app.
This is iNaturalist, right?
Yeah, iNaturalist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would be happy to assist if there's any interest in doing that with River Forest, because I think it's very simple, and it's very user friendly for anybody to be able to go out and, you know, take a picture.
You know, maybe we could engage some of the student groups. Like, it could be something fun for, you know, some of like Go Green groups and everything to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll definitely ask my dad about the middle school. And
yeah. So let's talk about it and see if we, because kind of like 'tis the season.
Okay. Susan, are you talking about people's front yards where you've seen or on the
just, I would say anywhere. Like if you are in within the boundaries of River Forest and you see milk, because I'm seeing like patch, you know, where I used to see one, I'm seeing patches now. You take a photo and you upload it, and then, you know, we can. You have to have your location on, and then we put together a map, and we can get an idea, you know, is it really, am I losing my mind, or is it really expanding? We've got a point in time, and we can do it again next year. And because we do have this pollinator pledge that we signed, so it would be nice if we could back that up with some data on, you know,
the mayor's monarch pledge.
Thank you. It would be nice if we could back that up and say, like, this is really working. And I feel like, you know, my own personal monarch experience, you know, there was one, and then there's three, and now there's like a little grove. And so, you know, it does take time, but I think, you know, this is showing about like 3 years in to people really making, and a lot of people, you know, a lot of organizations giving out milkweed. And I think I'm really starting to see
you need a decent patch to.
Mine is so improbable. It's not even sunny. It's no.
Look around there's one here, one there, and people have got it all over.
No. I know that, but as far as the milkweed, the attracting the monarch butterflies,
it helps to have more
larger. Yeah, that's what I'd read. I
for
don't know.
Sure. Yeah. But I think also the conditions this year with all the rain have really helped.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. I like that.
And then we can put together another map. You can help us with a map.
Excellent.
Time milkweed monarch and map, or even monarchs too, you know.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, to answer your question, no, does don't impact you leaving does not impact any votes or anything. So we're good.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Nice to meet you.
Are we ready to move on to the next item? I will share my screen here. I know Ty had emailed me right beforehand, and I had gone through and caught a bunch of typos on the draft web page that I shared. Let me see here. So, and this is a PDF version. This is included in the packet as well, but created a guide to electrification page. And how I did this and how I've got drafts going is I've got this as a sub page under reduce your carbon footprint on the sustainability guide on the website. And then I actually moved heat pumps and induction stove guides, which were based on old newsletter articles that Luis had written. I have draft versions of those. I would delete those ones and then have draft versions of those that would be sub links off of this guide. And I did sort of tweak some of them, update some of them, incorporated information on hybrid energy heat pumps, which was one thing from one of the HVAC contractors when we sent out the survey. We did send out the survey, went out to, I believe, 60 total contractors. We got responses from six, one of which said they did not do heat pump installations. But here are the five that said they did and how they do the load calculations. I believe B&W Mechanical is a mechanical contractor rather than HVAC contractor. There was only five of them, but they really work on like the large rooftop units for like commercial and industrial buildings, like the ones on top of Village Hall here. So theirs is mentioning a condensing unit, and they basically have the capabilities to do heat pump condensing units as opposed to just AC RTUs. But yeah, these were the five that got back to me. Only two of them had websites that I could link to. But I did include sort of all the permitting information I could pull together, and then a lot of the benefits explanations in this. And then our summer intern, Billy, who a lot of you met last month, I had asked him to put together a couple of draft guides. These were sort of the initial first drafts he had done. So, and I think he envisioned one as more of like a printable handout, and the other, like this one, as being more of like a social media post.
And you have the actual contractors that responded.
Yes. Yeah. And then this is what he had sort of imagined is the handout version. So yeah, just wanted to introduce all of this to you all, get any additional feedback, any edits you guys may have for this. And then once we think it's all sort of fully ready to go, start go live with the website and then start promoting it on social media, newsletter, all of that.
My only comment would be on, like, you look at the pictures, you back up that one, the first one you did with the.
This one?
No. The green building guide. Yeah.
Oh, the webpage?
The one that's this one here said.
Oh.
Green building guide. This.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. This one.
Yeah, scroll down just a little bit. See, typically in my mind, I see an X is bad and a check is good. So he's got, right? And I don't know what his intent was there.
Yeah, I mean, this was
something
I had, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can definitely, and I know.
So if it's going to be, if permit needed is bad, that should be the red, that should have a big red X, and the other one should be a, hey, smiley face check.
Yeah. And I know, Ty, before he left, he had sent me an email and had just a couple edits that he had suggested as well. So I might just bring that all back to Billy and have him sort of see what he could do with incorporating those edits as well. But then just along this topic, I know we discussed this a little bit before, and I had sort of dove back into the UIC climate plans They were completed a couple of years ago, and they had recommended similar things. And I think we had discussed this at some point on weatherization techniques and then green building materials. And I know the green building materials one we had discussed. I'm very unfamiliar with that, so I was thinking maybe that could be something for future discussion at the commission to sort of develop a similar guide on that stuff.
On which one's that?
Green building materials.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, and yeah. And if you make a note so you don't forget, I this whole notion of these, you know, green roofs, if you would, these sustainable roofs would be a part of that. I
yes. Think. Yeah, so and then
that's a lot of
untapped. If you need more guidance, I'd be happy to research that.
A lot of untapped.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and then weatherization, I know there's a lot of existing resources on and things like that. So I think that one, I can probably pull something together similar to this to bring to you all in the next couple of months as well, probably. So we could sort of have three separate green building guides on electrification, weatherization, and then sustainable building materials.
This is great. Thank you, Billy.
Yeah.
I would call it material and practices. So we got the birds in there.
Yep.
Yep.
Does anybody have anything else on this? Any?
No, that was good, Seth.
Additional comments or notes? All right.
This is a good job.
moving on to the various communications and staff reports. Let's see, which one did I have first in here? Oh, I did include the full survey results. So in case you're curious as to how the six survey respondents did respond.
Did that challenge your data manipulation ability?
I did include the quarterly electric vehicle report. You can see with the chart on the last page of that, the old level two chargers here at Village Hall are still the most used. But the fast chargers over at the Franklin lot are getting a whole lot of usage.
Which page are you on?
This is the third page. So if, it's after the green building guides, then it's in the quarterly
that's
report.
Charge for these?
Yes, it's 25 cents per kilowatt hour.
Is that a good rate or a bad?
That is roughly in line with what most other public entities charge. A lot of like private charging stations, it's typically a little bit more than that. But I think it's right in line with what Oak Park charges. I'm trying to think of what other facilities are.
How fast is the fast charger?
That can get 80% charge in 20 to 30 minutes.
That's like a level three charger.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And then the level twos, it's 6 to 8 hours typically.
North American charging standards, do you know?
I think the fast chargers have like the two separate.
Okay, you go either one.
Yeah. And only one of the two can be used at a time. But yeah. And then these ones I believe have like the adaptable
the old one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So usage is way up.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Usage is significantly up. You can see in the metrics, the quarterly and monthly kilowatt hours, number of drivers and number of charging sessions has absolutely exploded. Any EV user. So anybody. It's yeah.
Local residents or just people?
Not necessarily. There's a couple by the bank. So I just one day when I was there, I just went, you know, to note, and all of the stickers are from other.
Interesting.
But you said you had a stat on our quick chargers. They're the closest.
The next closest sort of publicly available fast chargers. There's some on Roosevelt Road, roughly near like East Avenue and Oak Park, and then there's some in Melrose Park, I believe, by like the Costco. And there's really nothing in between.
Are these profitable for the village?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, we're recouping the electricity cost. We're probably making a little bit of additional revenue there to like cover all of the, a lot of this was grant funded, but some of the portions of it, we have to have like warranties, things like that, the like sort of operating system that weren't covered by the grant. So this will help pay for all of that.
And the two that are right, you've seen the two down here on Central or no?
I've driven by them. I don't have an EV, so I don't really pay.
So those are drawing on electricity that's included in, it's not exactly free, but there's an 18 month lag. on Village.
Yeah, I believe that one is connected to the power here. And so that's part of what we have. What's, I think it's called ordinance consideration. Basically, your ComEd bill, you'll notice there's the franchise fee charge. And that is based on the electric usage of the Village facilities that don't pay for electricity directly. So that's Village Hall, the Public Works Garage, and the library.
I do notice ones by the metro station are still, they still look pretty underused.
Yeah, and yeah. We've updated the parking ordinance to clarify, like, permits are not needed for those. And then I'm actually working on the map, like the GIS map.
You think some people are afraid to go there because they think they need
And I got calls that very first week. Okay, do I need
that's a
permit
common,
to park there?
Common.
But yeah, we've shifted some of the parking over there more broadly. And so that is explicitly clarified that you don't need a permit to use the parking.
As long as you're not parking it here. Yeah.
Flow chart. I mean, it's, that's 6 hours. Suppose leave it there for 6 hours and for a long time. Do you guys monitor that?
Well,
there is an overstay fee. So it's a prorated rate of $10 per hour after it's reached full charge, and you get notifications through the charging app when you're getting close.
On the map, like the Tesla map or whatever it is, where people are like.
Yeah, all the publicly available maps that's shown.
That's
yep. Yeah, and then that overstay fee, that's in line with, I know there's level 2 chargers in Elmwood Park at the Walgreens right at North Avenue in Harlem, and that they charge the same rate for overstays.
And I believe Oak Park does as well.
I think Oak Park might have actually copied what we
they did?
did to
Oh, you mean with the overstay?
Yeah, with
yeah, because they did they didn't originally
they
have
didn't
that.
For a while now.
Seth, what are the paired
chargers? Those are the fast chargers. So,
then the station ones then are where?
Sorry,
you got paired and station. So those are all the new ones, right?
The paired are the fast chargers because with like there will be two stations there, and actually if there's only one vehicle plugged in at the two stations, it will be pulling from both of those stations and it charges at a faster rate. If there's two plugged in, it still charges. It takes
then the
40, 45.
Station ones are what are those?
Those are the 5 at the
Park over here.
At the Thatchel.
They're over by the bank.
Yeah, Franklin, right. So if you walk basically straight out the front of Village Hall and then through that empty grass lot and then
the new park.
Past that little well the new park is actually
okay,
up there, but yeah, it's like right behind the bank. So it's a village owned lot. It's mostly permit parking, and then there's some 3-hour parking. We had converted some.
And where are those showing up in this graph? Which
Those are the ones that are paired. So the River Forest paired
all,
one paired.
All of those
two,
are supercharged?
Those are the fast chargers.
Okay.
So the huge jump is attributed to people coming to this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, but Village Hall is still really strong too.
Village Hall gets a lot of usage. And I think part of that is we have two members of staff who take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And then we have the police department who will, they, I know they also use the fast chargers at times, but sometimes it's easier for them to just plug it in. During
How many cars do they have that electric?
Just the one. That's currently.
Well, I think that also gets used, like people are coming to meetings and they thought, well, may as well get a little charge while I'm sitting in my meeting.
That's
yeah,
what I'm
I know,
doing right
I know
now.
Eric did that when he was on the commission. And then beyond that, I included an updated report on the solar energy statistics I could find. And then I had included what the information ComEd gave us. We just met, myself and Jack, our public works director, met with the local ComEd representative at the end of June. They gave us data, but they gave us data that was as of January 1st. But that's included in that PDF sheet that I included, and that will be promoted on social media this week to really just encourage participation in the various energy efficiency programs that they have.
So this first thing, so is this community solar? They sent out another round of postcards.
They did not. They just provide me with the updated.
That's just as of this day.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can see the ComEd data versus what MC Squared gave me. Significantly more people, according to ComEd, are enrolled in community solar programs. So that may be people just going out on their own and not going through the Village program, which you can do, but gives us sort of
I'm not seeing where the ComEd data is.
There should be two spreadsheets or two.
Oh, this is from Kyle. Next one. Oh, next one. Okay.
Yeah, that third page should have.
Third page. Oh, I see. So, okay. So they say we have 146 people. So this is what we've been asking for this information
yes.
for like,
yeah, yeah. I sent it to this same person we met with and never got a response and then come in and I have
so,
all right, this information.
So according to them, there's 146. And according to our village program, there are
63. So there's 83 additional.
So 83 people have gone out on their own.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
This is, and you get all this by meeting with them?
I just pulled this data and compared it to the data we have just from that sheet versus what we had.
Just walk us through this. So 1,500 participants in what? Oh, that's the...
That is the, like, who've done either an energy assessment
in their
or
1,500?
Done sort of a rebate or installed a smart meter. And I think that's just sort of a rolling cumulative.
Okay.
So, and it might be instances where there might be sort of repeat individuals.
Mostly rebates.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, and so that one page of the three pages I include, that's going to be promoted in this week's social media just to sort of encourage people to take advantage of those rebates.
Yeah. What I struggle with on this, because, you know, I look at numbers and they just instantly add and they have total almost $400,000 in savings, right? But there's no place on here that I can come up with that number, because if you look below that, they don't add the $400,000 to any way, shape, or form.
Where are you looking at?
Right here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And like some of the numbers, they have like the exact total, and then some of them, they just round to the closest hundred. And
it's not even close. I mean, they've got. If you just add public and business sector, it's close to $1 million. You know, so I don't know where they come up with that. I don't know how they do it, but anyhow.
Yeah, and then they did also include like the net metering solar information. It did not match up with what I could find in our permitting data. I did not have much time to really dive into that, but it looked like we have more, like, according to our permitting data in terms of solar installations in the village
than what they said,
because I believe they had said 56 and two commercial institutions as of January 1st. The only commercial institution I was aware of prior to this year was Grace Lutheran.
Yeah.
But we have 69 total. Two of the three permits this year are still underway, Trinity High School and then the Public Works Garage.
Is there any way they wouldn't know about them, or?
All of these projects do require sort of coordination with ComEd to get everything set up. That's one of the delays we're currently at with the Public Works Garage.
Interesting.
But
that's really good. Thank you, yeah. Seth.
So maybe there's people who have solar, but have battery storage and didn't set up a net metering or something like that. That would be my only just purely speculative.
That's interesting. Well, we could try to get to the bottom of, that would be the next thing to see. Why are these numbers different?
But then the last thing I had, I'd shared the biodiesel information. So this initially came about through one of the regional climate groups that the village is a part of, C4, the Cross Community Climate Collaborative, and they had an individual on discussing transition to biodiesel for fleet vehicles. After that meeting, we reached out to Oak Park. They had already made the transition. We got pricing from a few vendors and made the transition. I think it was October of 2024. And then the Soybean Association, who's the big promoter of this, put together all of these metrics for us for that conversion. But all coming up on almost 2 years now, all of the village and park district diesel vehicles and equipment have been running on biodiesel. I think they promote it, but I think it's just any We just make sure it's just biodiesel when we purchase it. I don't think we get too deep into the sources there. So typically when we need to refill our fuel tanks, we have fuel tanks at the Public Works garage. Our superintendent will just sort of submit a solicitation for whatever, several companies who can provide, and which whichever one is the sort of the most competitive, they'll bring unleaded for the regular gas and then biodiesel for the thing. And it was just drained the diesel down once. I think it was a very quick transition from there. And then, yeah. But that is all I had. As I sort of got into earlier during the commissioner updates, I also have something more formal next month regarding Heritage Square as I get more information on that in terms of what to work with. But yeah, basically what I was given is keeping a patch open. The intention is to put natives and perennials there. And then...
That's called Heritage Square.
Heritage Square is what the board determined that to be. So
Seth, do you know are they working with a landscape architect? Are they doing it on their own? Is that something?
This is all on our own for right now. So we had initially solicited a couple thoughts from a couple just informal proposals from landscape architects, but because they wanted to sort of start making some conversions right away, the board basically instructed us to just proceed ahead. And then
was there a grant that was expiring?
No, this is just something
the speed of it just seems so un
this is just something the board really wanted to do. And rather than having a sort of crumbling parking lot, they want to sort of over time build something out and get the input as they do it. So but yeah, that's all I've got. If anyone has anything else.
No, good job, Seth.
Wait, go home and warm up.
Just one last thing.
Yep.
With the new school year coming around, I think since it is my senior year, if anyone has any recommendations for a new student representative, I'd be super interested to meet one, but I can't think of one off the top of my head if any of you
could you reach out to anybody in the environmental club?
That was going to be like the first thing. I didn't know if any of you had like recommendations. Just
I had not heard anything, but I can.
AJ, could you repeat that? I missed what you said.
Yeah.
You're graduating.
I'm going to be graduating, so I need someone to take on the student representative role. So I was asking if any of you guys had any recommendations of.
Are you graduating?
I still have this year. Senior. But then I'm going to be grad. That's when I got brought in like around this time. So I only do the same
thing. You mean you're going to be a senior?
Yeah.
Okay, so you still have time through the class.
I still have time through that, but it's like to start looking for someone.
Yeah, no, thank you for the heads up. I can definitely, through the Monitor Network, propose.
Yeah.
And let people know that there's an opening.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I could offer a thought.
Yeah.
You may not like it. But a little blurb just on your experience, the value, and what you learned, and we could put that out as a way to solicit more broadly, maybe in a little,
maybe like a final term paper or something, nothing, just 15 or 20 pages.
Something that we could put out into our newsletter to talk about that. And then anyone who wants to apply, do this.
Yeah. So they understand the role and stuff.
But the high school, when my kids were, they used to put something out every month, congratulations to the football team that lost 20 games, whatever it is. But do you have the opportunity to put something in that? Can you do that?
I have friends who work with the newsletter at OPRF, so I'm sure I could get a little blurb in there or something.
And I can even send you the application form and all that.
I'll post that on the Sustainability Club has a Google Classroom that I can just post anything on there. So I'll post that and I can just give like you guys said, a 2-paragraph blurb about what it's all about.
Yeah,
perfect.
But I still think it'd be a neat, maybe do it more towards the end of your time here. Just put out the fact that, this experience you have and how valuable it is to the team to have you as a part of it.
I would also mention, we don't have any limit on students. So, we could get them from both sources. If you came up with one and for environmental, because at one time we had four,
We did. I think I was on here when there were like three, but I never remember. That.
Yeah, there were four.
An age really? That's great.
An
age requirement?
I think it's high school. But...
I think it's high school because I think you started just finishing eighth grade or something.
I joined like April of eighth grade.
Yeah. So,
basically. But I think at that point we had had a vacancy. You were about to be in high school.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think even in the bylaws it says up to four student commissioners. So.
That's great because I think more. Yeah. So, well, thank you very much, AJ, for all of these years and meetings.
We'll get some more, hopefully. But yeah.
We really appreciate it.
Of course. It's been a pleasure, guys.
You live in Michigan?
No. We don't know yet.
He's got another year. He's got another year.
He just got that at the Goodwill, right?
Yeah.
What?
Do you apply in Michigan? Or?
I haven't. Applications haven't opened yet, so going to.
Don't make the guy nervous. Just.
Yeah, you got time.
Don't make him nervous. You got time. And I guess the last thing I would say is just, you know, I said this at the beginning of the meeting, but I think if we could all think about, like, if there's a natural other body within River Forest that we could liaise with, or like, you know, in Ben's case, it's Triton. And, you know, hopefully if we have a student rep, that would be the high school. You're kind of a natural for Roosevelt because of your contacts there. But maybe you could be Park District. I liaise a lot with the Forest Preserve. So I think, you know, if we could just sort of build on that, increase communication, and I guess as part of, and maybe you said this when you first reached out, is that, you know, we're very hoping to work with other municipal bodies. And if there's anything we can do, you know, in terms of, you know, anything we can do, I you know, just offering to be helpful and.
I want people to be interested in a lot of places.
And just also to let them know, because I'm sure they hear on the complaint side, but, you know, just how much we appreciate what they are doing and what they're adding and how it fits in with the village's priorities. All right. Is that a wrap?
Yeah, I think we just need a motion and a second to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlec?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
Commissioner Beckman isn't here. Commissioner Shader.
Yes.
We are adjourned at 8:12.